Man, this morning I'd like to lead you into a study that I've been working on and looking at for some time now. In fact, this is coming from a series of presentations that I mentioned some time back in our church here, the Empowered Life, and I've spent about two or three parts talking about the importance of the power and the power that's in prayer, the life of prayer, the empowered life. How can our lives be more empowered? By the way, thinking about this newness, the new year and the first Sabbath of the year, this is a time when people typically, as we come into a new year, has lots of new year resolutions and new plans. And actually, I was careful to look at some statistics, and it shows that many people that starts out with all these resolutions, and it, the first few days of the year looks good, and perhaps the weeks into it, and maybe by the end of January, many folks forget about their resolutions and other things. Yes, that's what the research shows, that folks are excited and they make all these new plans. We learned last night about expectations, right? It's like you set the bar so high, I'm going to do this and this and this, and they go for it. And every month I'm going to do this, etc., all through the year. And then folks start to fall short, they can't make it anymore, they can't follow through, and then life becomes miserable for many people. So it is very important that as we get into a new year, as we start, I was reading a little book that's called Start Right. Start Right. And in this little booklet, it talks about the importance. And this doesn't has to deal only with religion or anything, just anything you're starting, start right. And it gives some steps in starting. We won't go through that this morning, but I'd like to bring your attention to a very careful study. As you will notice in your bulletin, our message for today is called Revived by His Word. By His Word. I do believe in the times that we're living in that God is preparing His people to go through what is called a time of revival. I don't know about you, but daily I feel the need for a fresh and new revival in my life. And with this, I do understand that with a revival, and especially through the Word of God, we are able to conquer, we are able to go through the trials, the struggles, the pain, the heartache, all that we deal with by the power of God, He's able to walk us through these things. And so, these four pillars that I've mentioned in this church before, we call pillars of the Christian life. These are not the only pillars, but these are foundational things that gives life to anyone that wants to live a victorious life and also be close to God. We've spent time looking at prayer. If you were not here, sorry about that. But we're going to kind of move into the pillar of Bible study. And we want to also eventually, as a church, as a people, move to the steps in witnessing and reaching out to others in the third pillar that you will notice there. And so as a church, the church board, we've been talking about how can we reach the community more, both in reach and outreach, and we will be talking about that perhaps in the weeks ahead. But today we want to look at pillar number two, that of study. The aspect of revived by the Word of God. Now, you know, there's a beautiful quote that I pick up the other day. I was just looking to it, you know, coming to the end of the year, moving over into the new year. I started reading this and just reflecting, and I'll share it with you this morning. We are now in a new year and may prove a beginning of years of beautiful things in this year to come. If the old year we have made failures, let us commence the new year by rectifying these errors as far as we can. What do you think? If the old year has born into eternity, a spotted record of opportunities neglected and privileges slighted, let us see that of the new year is free from these blemishes. it's all about a new start. Then something else comes in mind as I was reading through this. Notice, these days that are upon us and before us, let us begin now to make the history of each as it passes, each day, right? Such as we shall not tremble to meet in the judgment. Interesting. Let us fill each one, each day, full of loving, helpful work for others. Let us develop all our powers and make of ourselves all that God designed that we should be. Let us do our best. Let us notice the aspect of serving others, being there for others, doing all we can to be a blessing to others. And in the end, as it says, that as we go through our new days into this year, that it should be that God will be pleased with what we do. So today, as we think about revive by His Word, let's think about a few things. How can we look back on this past year? Think with me for a moment here. How can we look back on the past year? What are some things that we can think about? Questions for you and I today are the following. How can I look back at this year? Have I made advancements in the divine life? Have I increased in spirituality? Think about these with me. As I walk down these questions, have I crucified self with the affections and lusts thereof? Have I an increased interest in the study of God's Word? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Have I increased interest in the study of the Word? Is it for you just like anything that makes you excited? You can't wait to study the Word of God daily. Is that your experience? Few more questions for us this morning. Have I gained decided victories over my own failings and waywardness? Think about that. Oh, that, what has been the record of my life for the year which has now passed into eternity, never to be recalled. So now, as I enter upon this new year, let it be with an earnest resolve to have my course onward and upward. Let my life be more elevated and exalted than it has hitherto been. Let my aim be not to seek my own interest and pleasure, but to advance the cause of the Redeemer Jesus Christ. Thinking about all these questions, let a record be stamped there which I will not be ashamed to have revealed to the gaze of men and of angels. Am I afraid of my record? I'm afraid that angels and men and God is able to see my records. Where am I? Where are you? I'd like to challenge you today. I'd like you to think with me a little bit on the times that we are living, in the times that we're living in, and how can we truly make an impact in our world. In this new year, in this first Sabbath, I'd like to challenge us as we think about this time that's ahead of us. We are closer to the coming of Jesus, I do believe. Do you believe that? We are closer to the coming of Jesus, and knowing this fact, with this reality in mind, the question is how ready I am for the coming of Jesus. Where am I? And so with these things in mind, I'd like to take you on a journey today. I may have a part two, as you notice in your bulletin. This perhaps is part one. The next time I look at part two of this, and perhaps what I'm going to cover in part two, because I was thinking about this aspect of revived by His Word, and revived by His Word on how to study. Because sometimes the question is, well, I want to study the Word of God more. I want to dig deep into the Word of God. But are there some steps? Are there some things that can help me? Are there some methods that are helpful? We'll leave that for the next time, but today we want to look at this. We read, thank you Dr. Keith for reading Hebrew 4 verse 12. I thought you were going to predict that we would start there. You normally say that at times. But yes, we are there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible says. We have several verses, so you want to get ready to note those today. For the word of God, read with me what it is. It's quick and what else? Powerful, what else? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, and spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God for us today. The word of God is quick. And that leads me to something, because, you know, there are times when we go through several difficult moments in our lives. Our lifestyle guests are here. I know you've come, and thank you so much for praying for this institute. I heard that prayer request earlier. God has a special plan for this ministry. And especially for each of you that are here, He has a plan for your lives. And here, we're remembering that the Word of God is quick. There are times that we think God moves too slowly, but I come by to remind us that God is quicker than we think. Sometimes we think that He's not showing up in time, but the Word reminds us that His Word is quick, and He, indeed, is quick. Not only quick, because sometimes we are asking, we are seeking for God's help. We don't see Him at the time perhaps that we would love to see Him. I remind you today that He is quick and He's never late. He's always on time. Notice the Bible continues saying that it is powerful. Do you need power in your lives today? God's Word is powerful than any other thing that we're encountering. There are times we feel like the world is on top of us. There are times we feel like we can't make it. There's so much going on in my life. But God is reminding us today that, hey, my Word alone is enough and powerful enough to deal with anything that you're dealing with. Not just to deal with it, but to conquer it and to give you the victory. That's the Word of God for us today. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What I love about the Word of God, imagine a two-edged sword, whichever side it is swung, it will cut you. But what I love about the Word of God, it's healing with its cutting. Each time it cuts, it gives healing. And that is powerful for us today, beloved friends, because there are times that God needs to cut things out of our lives. And through cutting these things out of our lives, He's able to bring, as the balm of Gilead, He brings healing in the cutting. That's the power of the Word of God. Now, as we go into this new year, I want to encourage us today. And I want to challenge all of us. Ask yourselves a few questions. I was asking myself a few days ago, how quick and easy it is. It may sound silly, but think about it. How sharp are you to just stand up and name all the books of the Bible? All right? Isaac is ready. Look at him. Beautiful. You want me to challenge you, Isaac? He's thinking now. All right. So, just think about it. Just reflect with me. Because, you know, as Isaac, you know, young and going through this and fit. Now, how are we? Sometimes we get a little, you know, older there, teenagers and 20s, 30s, etc., and older. Does the Word still stick in the mind? How quick am I to just list, go down through the books of the Bible? How about memorizing some scriptures? How much scriptures do I memorize? And I'm going somewhere with this. Because you see, we are overcome many times. We are stressed out. We are bogged down. We suffer many times because we're forgetting the Word of God. And many times, when we're in the struggles and the trials and we need help, we forget to call upon God in the moment. When God said, call upon me, right? Call upon me. And sometimes we're forgetting His Word, and Satan fills our mind with the negative things, and we're forgetting the power of the Word. And I'd like to challenge us. I'd like to challenge us with this idea. How much do I, can I really just recall? How much when I'm in trouble, and the God is reminding us, I am the God of Israel. I am the God that is able in every trouble that you're in. I can take you out of it. How many times these things come to our minds? You know, I remember some years back when I came into the church fresh out of the ghetto, didn't know much of the Word of God. And this Bible worker said, come with me, I'd like to, you know, I'd like for you to go with me for Bible study. I said, I don't know the Bible. I don't know the things that are in the Bible. I don't even know to find a verse. I can read, yeah, so I can read for you, right? And so he said, yeah, don't worry. You don't need to memorize, you don't need to remember all these things, but as you come with me and as we do studies, you will realize that the Word of God will start to stick in your mind. And so I went out with him several times, week after week, we were going, and eventually one day, didn't know he was going to do this, but we were at this house for a Bible study, and he said, okay, you're doing the study today. How? How am I going to do this study? And then he said, all you need to do is to start. So you've been with me. You've seen the various verses that I go to, and I notice you've been marking, you've been, you know, taking notes and all of that. Sometimes you go to people, you don't go with your set Bible study plan, he was telling me. Because sometimes the Lord wants you to study something different. So what I'm going to do, we're going to go into this house. We're going to you know, this is someone I've been studying with before. We want to see a little bit where they are in their studies and what we're going to study today. And as we start the study, I want you to pull out the verses. I was nervous. I was like, how can I do this? But friends, I tell you, we started the study, and as he was going through and he said, okay, now, you know, you will take over and do the rest of the study. We're going through the study. I'm sharing with this family. And as we're going through, we read one verse and the Lord reminds us of another verse. And the verses were coming and you're going through the study. And at the end, I was amazed. But I forgot something that he had told me way back. He said, our work is to study the Word of God. The Spirit of God brings these things that we study back to our remembrance. And that day I proved that there is power in studying, and as we study the words, we may not remember everything at the time that we study, but whenever we are in need of these verses and God wants us to represent His name, He brings these things back to our memory. And so I want to go somewhere with that today. Notice in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 verse 105, beautiful verse that we know. It says, thy word is what now? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Anyone here grew up with lamps? This is America. A few people. All right. I grew up in Jamaica. I remember lamps. Oh yeah. Walk around with the lamp, you get up in the night, and some, you know, if you're from some countries of the world, I lived in the Dominican Republic for a while as well, and Adner will tell you, there are certain times of the day that the electricity is off almost all the time, almost every day. That there's a break, they turn it off and it comes back on another time and etc. And also I was working in a place that there was no electricity at all. And I had to go back to lamps and candles and all of that. And you know, when the Bible says thy word is a lamp unto my feet, I remember nights I would get up, there wasn't a switch and there wasn't this, you know, now we're so sophisticated nowadays, right? In our bathroom or the walkway, we have these little smaller lights, you know, on the wall, you just plug it in and so you see your path as you're walking. No, we're talking about places and when you think about the Bible and the time it was written, no electricity, no kind of lights. And so that lamp, those little torch that they would carry, without that, they would not be able to find their path. Very dark places men would be, but when it says, thy word is like a lamp unto my feet, I remember several nights I would get up, lamp is off, I'm thinking, I remember where the bathroom is at. Oh, friends. Oh, one night, I think I normally make jokes and say, you know, now I keep my hair like this because I've bumped it too much and all my hair went off. I work in Mexico. I work in Latin America a lot. So many of the countries in Latin America, it's not a standard door frame like we have here in the United States. And so the amount of time I've bumped this head, I remember one day I was going through a door frame and I forgot that I needed to go down. And that thing hit my head and the blood gushed out. And I held on to it and eventually I got some help. But the story of not having a lamp, what I want to share is I remember one night I thought I remember the bathroom, the left and the right and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, okay. And I used to practice this. I'm a very light sleeper. So I don't go back to bed very easily. When, if I wake up and light comes on, it's so difficult for me to go back to bed. So, not having a switch to click, all I could do is to get my lamp again and I'm back together and I knew I would struggle a little to get back to bed. So I said, I think I can do this. I'm not going to use the lamp. I'm just going to go, remember the amount of steps, maybe, and then right, left, etc. I remember this night I was going for it and friends, I went straight into the wall. Oh, poof, I was on my back. Thought I knew the way. I didn't. And I appreciate this verse more after that, you know, tumbling down. I remembering the verse, the Lord says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The lamp helps to guide your feet and show us the path. Notice, it's a light unto our path. This is the word of God. Friends, in our daily lives, in the things that we do, in the path, when the path is not straight, when it seems as if we can't make it, when it seems as if we are not even sure where we're going, when the word of God guides us, we need not to worry. Because it shows us the correct path. In a world where we have so many paths, in a world where people are doing their own things, God is calling us back to His Word. God is saying, this is the foundation, this is what will guide you, this is what will keep you on the path, and this is what will prepare you for my kingdom. The Word of God. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, if we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If we want what? Revival, then we must revive our reverence. How reverent are we in the Word? I'm not saying reverent in the sense of, oh, nothing can touch the book. This is just paper, right? But we're talking about the reverence in the study of the Word, the seriousness of the study of the Word and gleaning principles that we can apply to our lives. That's what I'm talking about today. The reverence in knowing just as how I eat my meal daily and I keep a nice and beautiful, nutritious diet, that this Word is the spiritual diet for my life. That's the reverence we're talking about. I remember one time I decided I would do something. I'm serious about this. I said, Lord, if I don't spend time in the first thing in the morning in the Word, I'm not going to eat the physical meal. Now, that's a good challenge, by the way. Because it forces you now, hey, you want to eat something? Get in the Word. Oh, what a challenge. Perhaps you should think about it. And I remember one day, I was so hungry because I was running. So years back, I challenged myself. I was running, I had so much to do, and I was going, and I didn't spend my time in the Word of God. And then I said, okay, forget it, it's a fast today. And so I was out fasting. Well, wasn't a planned fast. You know, when you plan a fast, it's easier. Because you expect, you know, okay, today's I'm not going to eat, it's all planned. The brain helps the body, Dr. Keith will tell you, to be prepared. So the brain helps the body to be prepared. Oh, there's a fast coming, this and that, all of that. And of course, you're taking your waters or teas or green juice, whatever we do, right? You are prepared for it and you go through it easier. Now, this wasn't a planned day of fast. I thought I was so busy, didn't get in the Word, and I said, nope, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to eat until I get my time in the Word. So I was out there and I felt so weak, friends, physically, you know. Felt like I was going to faint. No food. I'm feeling so weak. I'm like, wow, this is not good. And then eventually, later in the day, you know, I got something to eat. Wow, I was back to it again. The body was revived. And it's like the Lord was saying, yeah, that's what we're talking about. You see, when you don't have that spiritual meat, that's how your spiritual life is. Yeah. You're drowsy, you can't handle, you're just like, you're gonna faint. There's no nutrients. There's no spiritual nutrients in your life, and therefore, your life throughout the day is a miserable one. You don't remember the promises. You can't go to the Word. You can't even share the Word with someone. You're not connected, and therefore, just in the physical, it is in the spiritual that the Word of God should be our food. That way, we will be able to live a vibrant and a godly life. That's the Word of God. I encourage us today, beloved friends, that as we go through this new year, that we will remember about the shield and the power in the Word. This is the Word that keeps us day by day. And if we're so busy, in my time when I talked about the aspects of prayer, one of the quotes I mentioned, Martin Luther said that whenever he realized he was so busy, the quote says, I have so much to do today that I cannot but spend at least 3 hours in prayer. Did you get that? I have so much to do. Wow. So look at the opposite, the contrast. I have so much to do, I cannot but spend at least 3 hours in prayer. Whew. These are the reformers. These are the men that understood what it meant to dig deep into the Word of God, and that the Word be our medicine, our food, our everything. And this morning I encourage the church, I encourage all our guests, everyone that's here today, that sometimes we are struggling and we don't know why we struggle so much. Perhaps it is because we have not taken very seriously the promises in the Word of God. Here we go, Psalm 119 verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You may say, I don't know, I don't understand this. When I read the Bible, I don't understand what it is saying. Well, what we need is to really spend time in prayer. Lord, help me. Simple. We don't need any complication. Lord, I don't understand the Bible easily. I pray that you will please teach me as I study. Give me understanding. Give me comprehension. Help me that the things I read that I'll be able to understand. And I tell you, friends, God will do it for us. I remember days where, as I mentioned earlier, didn't grow up in the church, didn't know anything about the Word, and I was just like, Lord, how do I understand these things? And eventually, by praying, Lord, I want to understand, I want to know what this is saying, and praying, and asking God for help, and yes, He does help. I have no doubt about it. Entrance of thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. No matter how simple we are, God's Word is able to give us light. Jeremiah puts it this way. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. Talking about God. Jeremiah didn't want to preach anymore. Nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. I could not stay still. The word of God was in his heart. Fire in his chest, and he said, I cannot but speak the word of God. That is what we need today, beloved friends. The word of God, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, Lord, why me? Why do I have to be the one to talk to the people of Israel? And he said, I'm not speaking in your name anymore. But the word was like fire shut up in his bone. May God help us to reach that stage. May God help us to reach that place where we cannot stay still. The Word of God is so powerful deep down in the heart that even when I say I'm shy, Lord, take away shyness. I don't have boldness. Yes, God is the God of boldness. He gives boldness to His people. And as we come to these last days, God is going to use His people to enlighten the world with the Word. He's going to use us. And friends, if you're not ready for it, He's going to do something to make you ready. And if you don't want to be ready, He's going to help you to be ready. He just needs our willingness. Our willingness. Jeremiah says, it's in my bones and I can't get it out. Friends, I believe that we're on the verge of something. I believe we're at the time when God is preparing His people to be revived by His Word. When we read the three angels' messages in the book of Revelation chapter 14, it talks about this angel flying in the midst of heaven with an everlasting gospel to give to the entire world. Friends, we're at the time now when this message needs to go to all the world, and God wants you and I to be a part of this. He wants us to be a part of this. So let's be like Jeremiah today. Let's say, Lord, even though I don't want to, but it's in my bones, and I have to do it. Now think about the Bible this way. The Bible, we normally call this man's basic instruction before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible, the compass, the guide to help us on our path, to guide us on our way. And friends, in a world where people are denouncing or are skeptics, skeptics are around or saying, how can we believe in this? Friends, if you have experienced God and His Word, there's no way that you will be a skeptic anymore if you have a true experience with God. And this is the Word. It is powerful. It is sharp. It is like a two-edged sword. It gives us life. It gives us hope. It gives us healing. There are times when we are in need of healing. We're in need of help. We're in need of strength. And we are not able to press along. And you read that word where God encourages you and help you to understand, I am the God of all flesh and I am with you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's Word has something for you. And so, I enjoy looking and reflecting at some things that Mr. Spurgeon says. He says, believers must never adjust the Bible to the age, but the age to the Bible. You see, friends, we're in a time when people want to adjust the Bible. And they say, well, let's adjust it for the young people, really. Let's adjust it for the world. They're coming in. They don't understand. There's some things. Let's adjust and let's water it down. No, my friends. The age or this age, the times we're living in and whatever times to come must be adjusted to the principles of the Word of God. If we ever think that we need to adjust the principles and the teachings of the Word of God because of the age or because of the young people, we are in deep trouble. We are preparing a people for the kingdom of God. And therefore, the world, the people, must be adjusted to the principles of the Word of God. What do you say? And that is what we need today, friends. What we need is not a whole lot, in fact, not so much sermons and a whole lot more things. We need to be people of the book. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the foundations of the Word of God. I challenge myself and you today that we take it seriously. That we say, Lord, I am not where I ought to be, but I want to be there. I want to reach there. Romans helps us to remember that. Be very careful. This is the principle that comes from these verses. How you live, your life is a permanent sermon. We need our lives to be a sermon. We need our lives to preach. We need our lives to represent God. Friends, I'm not there, but I want to be there. I want to be there at the place where people can see and, you know, you've heard the stories. People see and they ask you, are you a Christian? Are you something about God? They just are able to see the presence of God. My wife and I are reading through the book of Acts. And we're reading, and the other day, just last week, we're like, wow, how can't we see this anymore? And we're praying for this, that God will do something special. But how is it that Peter, they're walking just beside the crowd, and their shadow healing people. Their shadow, so powerful. Then Paul, Paul with his handkerchief, taking care of people around him. Now, we're not promoting some strange kind of gospel today. But what we're saying is these men were so connected that the people were able to see. That's how they became Christians. That's where the name came from. Because they realized these men walk and talk and behave like Jesus. Then as we read through, as we're going through the book of Acts, there's something that struck us because we saw it with Stephen in the first chapters, chapter 7. And so Stephen started to preach. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a Bible there, and Stephen started. Friends, and when I look at Stephen's sermon, Stephen was quoting from Exodus and from Deuteronomy, and he's going all through the Bible, and he was just standing talking without a Bible. And he was just quoting because the Word was in his heart. Friends, I pray that God will put the Word in our hearts today. I close today with the last few more verses as we get ready for our fellowship lunch. In the book of James, it said, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding himself, his natural face in the glass. For by beholding himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. When we read the word, when we see who we are, we should have that heart to say, Father, I am in need of your grace. Lord, I'm not clean. Wash me and make me clean. That's the word. The power of the word. And now, I want to read to you another verse. Didn't put it on the screen, but now the Lord reminds me of it, and I just want to pull it up very quickly here. There's a verse that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Look at what it says. 2 Peter chapter 1, write it down. It says here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Is this world dark today, beloved friends? It is a dark place. It is a dark place. And God is saying, I have a sure word of prophecy. Sure word for you in this dark place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, the word, is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the word. God wants us to delve and dig deep into his word today. When I come back for part two, I'm going to look at some principles for you and for myself as we look into the Word. What are some of the things? What are some of the ways we can get more out of the Word? But I want to finish leaving a few things with you. You know, I like this very much. We need to be connected to the Word. I saw this picture. I pulled it up. I really like it. He's just showing this one on the right. But the one on the left is the power. This one on the right, I just saw it. So, oh, isn't that cool? Yeah, we need to be connected in the Word. Every day, every moment. And then we have the Bible emergency numbers. When you're in sorrow, beloved friends, go to John chapter 14. When you think that you are so sorrowful, you can't handle it, just look at what God says there for you. When we fail. When men fail you, rather, let's go back to Psalm 27, because the Bible helps us to remember that men will fail you, but God never fails. And you read through, I want to leave this with you, you can ask, I can give this to you as well, but here just goes down, we call this the Bible emergency numbers, you go down, what are you dealing with? Friends, there's nothing that you are dealing with or will ever deal with that God doesn't have an answer for. And so it doesn't matter what you're dealing with today. Maybe you're saying, man, I think I don't have a case. I don't have an answer. There's no turning back. I don't have any hope. No, there is hope in Jesus. And God is ready to help each of us. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with. And so encourage us that we stay close to the Word of God. I'll give it to you, David. And so here we go. It says here, Joshua 1, verse 9, verse 8. I want us to remember this today. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? What it says? Meditate therein how? Day and night. Encourage us, friends. In the temple, in the sanctuary service, the men went in the morning for the morning and the evening sacrifice. I encourage us as a people, as a church, as friends today, let's not remember to spend some time in the morning and in the evening in the Word. It doesn't need to be long. Just a few moments. A few minutes. Reflect on the Word. Spend some time together. I told my wife, it doesn't matter how busy it is and everything that's going on. Let's make this time for the Word in the morning. And when we come home, let's reflect on how good God has been in the day. Let's reflect and give Him thanks and have the time of worship and prayer at the end of the day. This is so important. And I tell her, we have to hold each other accountable. You know, when it looks like things are getting busy, we have to remind each other, remember, you know, we need to get in the Word. And when it looks like so much is going, I'm so happy for her. Because there are times I come home at the end of the day, maybe some long days, and say, oh wow, this is a long day. Okay, baby, let's meditate in the Word. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Let's reflect in the Word. So here we go. Meditate therein. How? Day and night. I challenge us today. Day and night. And thou mayst observe to do, not just meditate, not just to read or study, but to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, apply the Word of God. And so therefore, notice how the success comes. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God wants to make us successful today. And I encourage us, in a world where people are glued to Facebook, I encourage us, face the book. Face the book. Face the book, beloved friends. In a world where it's so easy to be caught up, and you're there and you didn't realize that you're there for an hour going through. Am I right, beloved friends? Am I talking to somebody today? Oh yeah, you're there and you're, oh wow, how much time I was in that. Well, let's face the book, friends. Let's at least spend that time. In a world where social media is taking over, no, social media can be a great blessing because we can spread the word, we can write the messages, we can send out the word through social media, amen? Yes, we can do a whole lot, but let's never get too busy in those things that we're not facing the book that God has given us to help us to be prepared for the kingdom of God. I close today with this. You see that? Siri wants to get in the book as well. I hope so. So look at this. Because I have friends that say, man, I want to study other books. I just want to, you know, the Bible is kind of hard. You know, these nice writers nowadays, we have some really fresh writers, they tell me. Fresh. They say, friends. They say, man, what's more fresher than the Word? Yeah, you're telling me that these men or these new authors are so inspired and they have so much that the Word is not fresh anymore? And they tell, oh, these authors and all of that, I understand better. And okay, yes, that's a supplement. But never should take the place of the Word. So notice what Charles said about it. Visit many books, but live in the Bible. Oh yeah. Many books that are out there. Beautiful. Beautiful. Spirit of Prophecy, books, great books. Awesome. Inspiration. I have a quote actually to finish with from the Spirit of Prophecy, from the inspiration that God has given. But here we go, visit many, but we live in the Word. We stay. The Word is our base. It's our foundation. This is where we, whatever we believe and how we believe it and whatever we do should have its basis in the Word of God. And so today, I'm going to leave with this quote, and in part two, I will focus on some principles and how to truly study, some ways in which will help us to study better and be more excited. The studies can be more excited by these principles. So I'll leave you with this. Beautiful, inspirational author. Beautiful quote that's here for us. Build a wall of scriptures around you. Oh, I love it. Build a wall of scriptures around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down. Commit the scriptures to memory, praise God, and then throw right back upon Satan when he comes with his temptations. It is written. This is the way that our Lord met the temptations of Satan and resisted them. He resisted the temptation. What's the word? It is written. Matthew 4, verse 4. Satan came telling Jesus, Jesus says, it is written. And that's how we will need to live in these last days. It is written. Build a wall of scriptures around you. Several years ago, I was in Germany. And we move over across Germany. My friend Clayton here telling me soon be trotting over on that side of the world. And we move across in Budapest. And from Hungary, we spent some time, then we went over to Serbia. But what really got me was one of the trips in the last few days. We were doing excursions and they took us in Germany to one of the fortresses. And down in that fortress, we were down there. And what really got my attention was, I think I shared this with some of you, that we went down and down, we're going further down, started to get cold. I remember the guide said, well, you may not need your coat now, but you will want to carry your coat. Because the deeper we go, it's going to get colder. And we're down in this fortress. And then he started to give us the history of when there was war and when there were strife and situations, how the army would just go down to the fortress and they're fully protected. It's interesting because he took us to a certain spot where we could see the points and little holes that they said they were able to point their, you know, guns through and attack the enemy, but the enemy could not pierce or penetrate their walls. And so we asked him, how thick are these walls? And he said, well, some of them are 10 feet thick, others are 20 feet thick. Some of these walls are like the city of Babylon. If you read the stories in the Bible about Babylon, what it says is that the walls were so thick. So think about it over here. Scott, you're here. So from the wall to about here, that's closer to 10 foot. And then let's try to get another 10 to that. And then we're saying closer to 20 foot thick wall. There's no way the enemy can penetrate that. Now, when we just mentioned in the quote, build a wall of scripture around you so that the enemy cannot penetrate. And when he comes with his temptations and trials, you just bounce or you just pull out a scripture and that keep him at bay. Build that wall. How is the wall? How is our scriptural wall today? Is what I want to close with. How is your scriptural wall? How is my scriptural wall? How easy does the enemy penetrate? Is it because my wall is too thin and I need to build the wall a little thicker so that any struggle and issues I'm dealing with, I am confronted with by the enemy, I am able to put that verse out there. I'm able to reflect and remember. And because of the thickness of my wall, I'm protected and shielded in the arms of Jesus Christ. This is my prayer and this is my hope for all of us today.